I have one word to say about what StepCraft has done for me, and it's been exceptional.
Welcome to the Think It, Make It podcast with your host, Eric Royer. All about turning your ideas into reality with a CNC router, tips and tricks, new products, interviews, and much, much more.
This just got exciting.
Whether you're using a CNC for business or hobby, we have great stuff in store for you.
All right, everybody, welcome to the Think It, Make It podcast. I'm here today with Chris Rao, who's located in Cape Cod, Massachusetts. Hi, Chris. How you doing?
I'm doing wonderful today, Eric. How are you doing?
Great. Thank you so much for joining me on this podcast episode. We're looking forward to chatting with you here. So you're in Cape Cod, you said, and so that's like a really popular vacation destination for New Englanders. I've never lived there. I've visited quite a bit. So when you live there, do you find it that it feels like you're on vacation a lot, or is it just home? Like, that's just where you work?
That's a great question. So I have a day job that I work here on the Cape. Because of the field that I'm in, I actually have lived in a lot of very touristy destinations, including Hawaii, and I grew up in California. So the Cape is great, but I'm not a New Englander, so I'm still adjusting to the winters. So summers are wonderful here, and winters I tolerate.
Yeah. Yeah, it must get really touristy though, huh? In when the summer hits.
Oh, it sure does. Traffic gets backed up a little bit, and it's just nice to commute outside a typical tourist going to the beach hours.
Yeah. Now, what do you do for a living?
So I'm a mechanical engineer by education. I'm a naval architect. By day, I'm a mechanical engineer, and I develop underwater robotic systems that are used for mostly science applications and some defense work.
Oh, that's really cool. That sounds like a lot of fun.
Yeah, it is. And it has some great travel perks. Been all over the world traveling with vehicles and looking at the bottom of the ocean.
Well, it's like a really cool place that you were that you kind of wish you can go back at some point.
I did a trip about a year and a half ago to Japan. We're operating out of Yokohama. I should say we spent about a week in Yokohama getting ready on the boat. And then the boat went out into the Philippine Sea, and we spent about a week and a half out in the Philippine Sea. And Japan is a wonderful country. I'd go back there in a heartbeat.
That's great. Sounds like a lot of fun. So you purchased a CNC from us. You have which model do you have? The 840, correct?
I have the 840, yes.
Okay. So what was when did you buy it?
So I bought it late in 2018. I'd been sitting on buying it for a while. Your salesperson, Don, had been going back and forth with me for a couple months. And then when the after Thanksgiving Day sale came up, I jumped on that right away. So
it was
just the catalyst I needed to drop a couple dollars off and make the purchase.
That's great.
Not that the machine, I thought the machine price was fine. It just was an encouragement to make me jump.
Yeah, anytime you can save a little bit of money, that's definitely worthwhile doing that. What do you have with the machine? Did you buy just the machine, or did you get any of the attachments with it as well?
So I got the MM1000 router, and I got the DL445 laser.
Oh, cool.
And I also got the automatic tool changer, although I will admit I don't use it as an automatic tool changer. I just use it as a quick change device. I just haven't set up the rack for the auto tool changing yet.
It's funny you mentioned that, because I've been working with the automatic tool changer on our new Q series machine, and we have one on our demo machine. And because when I'm running it, it's usually just a one-off job here and there. I don't run production, so I don't have a tool rack set up with a standard set of tools. So I do the same exact thing. I have probably 10 or 15 tool holders sitting with specific tools in them. And then whenever I need to run a job, I just pop it in. It is more convenient than using a wrench on the spindle. So it is kind of nice when that happens.
Absolutely.
So what led you to StepCraft besides being able to save some money on Black Friday?
Well, I did research. So just to back up a little bit, I used to own a machine shop out in California, and it was a small prototype shop. And I had some pretty expensive mills and lathes and, you know, all those kind of tools. So I already had an exposure to CNC. And at home, my home isn't big enough to accommodate a CNC lathe or a CNC mill. And I love playing and tweaking and tinkering. And I started researching different CNC routers. And it became pretty clear to me pretty quickly that the StepCraft is kind of in a league of its own. At that size and that price point, having the lead screws and just a single belt compared to some of the other ones that drive the with it, the Y axis or the X axis back and forth with belts, and just seemed like better quality, and kind of that German engineering just really intrigued me and caught my attention.
So this isn't your first CNC then? You've had other mills, but more metal work?
Yeah, all metal work. I've never had a CNC router before.
Okay. Do you do metal work on your machine now, to like aluminum?
I don't. I'm really happy working with wood, and that's sort of the medium that I've targeted at this stage of my life, is to just do work with wood, whether veneers or hardwoods or softwoods. I just keep playing with wood.
So are you using the machine for business purposes or just hobby?
Both. Hobby because it's a great stress relief, but business. So what I've done, and part of the way I justified buying the machine was, Cape Cod, as you mentioned, is a great tourist destination. So there's lots of craft fairs and street fairs and shops. And I'm working on a line of products that are all really geared towards giving tourists and visitors of Cape Cod a little something that they can take home with them and help remember their vacation.
Oh, that's cool. That's a really good idea.
So, you know, I guess when they talk about in the business world, you know, like, who's your target and what's their problem? It's sort of hitting that, you know, sub $20, I don't want to call it a trinket, but something you can take home that just gives you that little bit of memory to live with you after the vacation's over.
Well, the fact that it's made right there on the Cape, as opposed to like being imported, Chinese trinkets and whatnot, which you see at a lot of the gift shops and stuff around there, I would imagine might make people more interested to buy from, you know?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, I did send you a little sample product that I'm going to just bring this up right now. A little notebook I made that has wooden covers with a nautical theme to it. And on the back, there's a laser engraving. The name I'm working under for these product lines is Studio Creative Cape Cod. And that's engraved right there with laser etching on the back. So I wanted people to see that it's got Cape Cod stamped on it in a place that's kind of not right in your face, but yet it gives you a nice feel of a quality product that you can kind of hold in your hand and feel the wood and enjoy.
Yeah, it does this. This thing is awesome, by the way. You did a great job on this. When she came in and Dawn got it and she brought it in, she's like, yeah, check out what Chris did. And this boat on the front is lasered or it was is. It routed?
No, it was all laser.
That's amazing because you're taking off probably a 32nd of an inch off of the plywood that you're using. What is this?
It's actually not plywood. Those are layers of veneer that I cut and glued together.
You made these then?
I made those.
Oh, yeah. Wow.
So one of the, in the product development cycle in any business, there's always, you can have the idea and then it's the execution of how to get that idea to work. And I will tell you that I went through about 10 to 12 different adhesives to figure out how to make veneer bond together really good. And the trick with veneer is it's so thin that you get a little bit of moisture in it, it curls.
Right.
And so how do you get veneer, layers of veneer to bond to each other? And it's one thing to put veneer to a solid hardwood substrate or a thick piece of wood, but to do two thin pieces of veneer together and not have it curl up on you is a trick. And the same is true with the finishing process. You put some different kinds of varnishes or lacquers on it, it'll cause it to curl up. So it actually, in my shop, there are dozens and dozens of failures to get something that actually came out working right repeatedly.
Now, on this, they look like they're, what is it, a little less than an eighth of an inch thick. I'm going to put pictures, by the way, of this on the show notes for this episode so people can see what I'm talking about, because it's really tough. CNC is a very visual thing, and here I am talking about how awesome this is, but nobody could see it. That's kind of not fair. But I will put photos up. But this does look like it's a little less than an eighth inch thick. Is this, how many layers of veneer is there on here?
I think my process is down to two layers. So I use a layer of 16th inch veneer, which is kind of a little thicker veneer. And then I use a layer of 25 thousandths thick veneer. So that gets us up around into the 30 somethings or.
I see. So
I don't know if I'm doing my math right, but.
No, I got you. So you're burning the thinner veneer away with the laser then?
So yes, but I do it as just a sheet by itself.
And then you laminate it.
And then I laminate the two pieces together.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. I was wondering how you got this so that there was no like crazy burn marks or anything. I was like, you know a lot more than I do, because that's pretty good. But now that you say it's a laminate, that makes a lot of sense. It came out really, really nice though.
there's a lot of sanding in there, but thank you. I worked hard on that process, and I hope this will be my first summer selling these to visitors on Cape Cod, and I hope they appreciate them as well.
Now, where do you source the veneer from? You get it like Amazon, or do you find?
So initially when I started playing with it, I bought a sample pack off of Amazon.
Yep.
But the problem with the sample pack is they don't tell you what kind of wood you're working with. And so that became a showstopper really quick. So I had a lot of success, but I don't know what I was working with, so I couldn't order it again. So I started then going to Woodcraft, and they sell veneers from Sauer, which if you look on Amazon or if you look on eBay, Sauer veneers are pretty common. I think they're out of North Carolina, but you can source them from Woodcraft. And so I buy from Woodcraft, and I only work with a handful of species, and I only work with domestic wood species. The exotics tend to have a different type of sap in them, and they're more brittle. They break a lot easier. And I find the domestics like maple and cherry and walnut to be very stable and easy to work with.
Wow. So it's not cheap. They're especially when you buy from Woodcraft. It's definitely not a, I was at a local one here in Connecticut a couple of weeks ago. And I was really amazed at how much some of this wood costs when you buy it from a retail store.
Yeah, absolutely. I agree. I haven't gotten to the volume point yet where I can go to like Sauer directly and just say, hey, I'd like to buy 50 square feet of maple veneer. So sure. That may happen at some point in the future, but at the point I'm at right now, I'm just not buying enough to get their attention.
Right. Have you heard of, that's what I want to ask you. Have you heard of Amazon Canvas?
No, I have not.
Okay. That's something to check out because if you like working with veneers, so are you familiar with the term markery? You know what markery
is?
Yes. Okay. Well, Vincent Doan makes the software called Amazon Canvas. So I believe it's AmazonCanvas.com, I think. And his software, what you do is you get a bunch of different veneers and you can scan them into the software, and then you can create markery projects and actually orient the veneer digitally on the screen to get all the shading you want for that particular project. And then when you're done, it creates the G-code file and you put the veneer on the machine and it will cut the pattern exactly like it was scanned in on the computer. So when the parts are all cut, you have exactly the same markery pattern that you had on the computer using the different veneers. It's pretty crazy. He's been doing it for several years and he's got one of our machines that I should actually do an episode with him because the software is very, very unique, and markery is an art for sure. And his software makes it so it's reachable by a lot of people.
That's awesome. I'll definitely look into that.
Yeah, and he sells veneer too, and his prices are really good. A lot of it is thin. You know, it's very, very thin stuff because markery you don't need to have really thick pieces. But I've used the software a little bit. I've been wanting to spend some more time to do I have a couple projects I'd love to do. I just can't ever seem to find the time to learn some new software, but I watch a lot of his videos and he does webinars now, and, it's definitely worth taking a look at if you're into that.
Awesome.
So how's your experience been with the StepCraft machine and working with my team here? Everybody taking good care of you? This is your time to be honest because you're on a live podcast. So,
yeah. You know, I have one word to say about what StepCraft has done for me, and it's been exceptional.
That's good to hear.
I have had a couple hiccups with the machine. Your service department has resolved it very promptly and quickly. In some cases, it was my ignorance, and in some cases, it was just something that wasn't quite up to snuff, and it just needed to be replaced. And I've had nothing but exceptional service from your company. I'm really happy with the machine. The assembly process, I'm a mechanical engineer, so I wasn't intimidated by it, but I was just impressed by the instructions to put it together and how clear everything was. I couldn't be happier.
That's great. I'm glad to hear that. No, I did not pay you to say that. So I really appreciate that. That's,
yeah.
That's one of the things that, and when I do these episodes, I'm always going to ask that question live. And we did not really talk ahead of time. So, you know, I work really hard and my team is awesome here to make sure that our customers are taken care of. And if anybody ever has a problem and they, for some reason, can't get it resolved, as soon as I know about it, I put all our resources to make sure that, you know, you're happy, you're taken care of.
Yeah, no, I'm happy.
So What do you, I know you, because you've done CNC before and it was milling, then you get a router and you're doing wood. How do you feel the learning curve was?
So the software was a little bit different. I went from using kind of a more advanced CAM software to, I don't want to say Vectric is not advanced. It's just different. So, you know, kind of my brain went from getting things down to plus or minus a couple thousandths of an inch to now what I'm doing, I don't care about the tolerances quite that much. So it's not as stressful what I'm doing now compared to what I was doing before.
Right.
Software has been good. I've learned it pretty quick. I still have some questions, but there are great resources from Vectric with YouTube channel and other things to which answer my questions usually very quickly. Yeah, I think that's all I've got to say about that.
Yeah, the Vectric software, we've been working with it here almost exclusively now for since I started over almost 6 years. And I like it. It's very powerful. There's a lot of powerful features in it, but it's also very simple for a beginner to learn. And, you know, we've had really good luck with it. We do a lot of training and things like that with customers. And we've got some online trainings and webinars and things that we're working on to really walk our customers through step by step. So, yeah, I'm really happy with it. Have you tried Fusion 360 at all?
So that's an interesting question. So I recently taught a class for a week. I took some vacation, taught a class to a group of high school kids on how to use Fusion 360, but I've never used the CAM portion of Fusion 360. Mm-hmm. But I'm intimate enough with the software to be able to teach a whole class. I just have never toggled over and hitting that drop down button that says CAM. So it's on my list of things to do.
The CAM on Fusion is impressive to say the least, because especially when you're working with metal projects, you can do both axial and radial assignments of tool paths, where Vectric is, you know, you could do a profile or a pocket. You don't have a lot of options there for attacking the material, especially when you're doing, you know, if you want to take off, say, 50 thousandths along the edge, but you want to do quarter inch passes, you have a little bit of limitations when it comes to metalworking with Vectric, where Fusion, you know, it's designed for the metalworking. I don't know if you've ever seen Titans of CNC. Are you familiar?
Yeah, I've seen a couple of their videos on YouTube.
Yeah. So, I mean, he runs a huge CNC shop out in California, and Fusion 360 is one of the software that they use frequently. So it's very powerful. But We offer it with every machine that we sell. However, I'm not as fluent with the CAM either yet. I'm learning. And there's a lot of options. So it can be a little intimidating until you get used to what you need to check and what everything does.
Yeah, I totally agree. Having used CAM software in the past, there's a lot of capabilities and a lot of strategies that are helpful to be a machinist to understand how best to remove material, particularly metal.
Yeah.
Not as important with wood, but particularly metal.
Yeah, exactly. So you're using the tool changer and you're not using it as a tool changer. So I assume you're using mostly eighth and quarter inch shank tooling?
I am. Yes. Exclusively eighth and quarter inch.
Do you have a preference for tool manufacturer, or do you just kind of buy whatever?
I've really gravitated towards Amana.
Yep.
They make good quality tools. They do the job efficiently and effectively. And I haven't had any problems or haven't needed to make any excuses to myself about why something didn't work out right.
Right. So do you have a lot of ideas still of things that you want to make, and it's just a matter of finding time to get to them? Or do you have a kind of a punch list?
I do have a lot of ideas of things to make. So I know you came from the model airplane world.
Correct.
I used to do a lot of model boats. My education's in naval architecture, and I've got a couple model boats that I'm working on building. And one of them is a radio-controlled sailboat. It's a meter-long boat, and it has a pretty sophisticated keel that I've designed using fluid dynamic software. And I'm working on designing up the mold to make that. It's a two-part mold to get both the strut and a bulb on the end. And Stepcraft 840 is a perfect machine to carve away and make a mold.
What would you make the mold out of?
So the mold, I've got some polyurethane foam. It's a structural type foam that's used in boat building. Mm-hmm. And I will laminate a couple sheets of that together to get the thickness that I need. And then I'll carve the shape that I want. And I'll undersize it by about 100 thousandths of an inch. Coat that with an epoxy putty, like a filled epoxy putty. And then come back and do a final pass on the mold to get something that's near net shape. And then sand it, you know, with a really fine sandpaper, get it all polished up really nice and shiny, use that as a master, and then pull mold off of that.
So in a case when you're doing that, you're 3D carving then. So you're designing the file in 3D using that other software you mentioned?
So this is probably a good one for Fusion 360.
Okay.
I just haven't gotten there yet. I've got the mold is designed up in SolidWorks, which is what I do my day job with.
Okay.
And I just need to transpose that over to Fusion 360 and start learning how to do CAM software. Or you learn how to do the CAM start part of the software.
Yeah, it is pretty easy to import SolidWorks into Fusion. We do that a lot so that there's not any issues there. But yeah, I'll be interested to see once you start doing that. That'd be great. I've been looking for people that are doing some mold type stuff. I've got a couple of customers asking me specifically for radio control molds that they want to do for airplanes, like airplane cowling and things like that. And it's not something I've done myself much. So I'm always scouring YouTube and whatnot, looking for videos to share with customers that have specific applications.
Well, we can certainly talk. I mean, there's some more. So both my son and I ride mountain bikes, and my son races mountain bikes, and he is he's 15, and he's going to be an engineer when he grows up at the rate he's going. But we've actually been making some carbon fiber bike parts for his mountain bike.
Cool.
And we've used the Stepcraft to make the molds. We also have a couple 3D printers, but the molds we get off of those aren't quite the quality that we get off of carving something on the Stepcraft. We made what's called a bash guard, which is a carbon fiber part that protects your chain ring. That's your front sprocket, mm-hmm. hitting logs and rocks when you're trying to go over obstacles. I've got some pictures of that I'd be happy to share with you if you want to include those in your episode notes.
That'd be great.
And there's been some other parts too. I'm drawing blanks at the moment. This has all been kind of in the last month or so that we've done these parts.
You've done quite a bit with this machine considering you just got it right around the holidays, right?
Well, yeah, kind of right around December 1st, or no, I guess it was even closer to the holidays than that. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty impressive. Now, does your son know how to program it and use it too?
He does, but I'm a little protective. I haven't given him free rein to the machine yet. So with me close by, I'll let him do some stuff.
That's where you got to go to Amazon and buy like the really inexpensive bits. You know, you get 10 for $10 or something like that.
Yeah, that's probably the right thing to do for him. I haven't actually broken any bits on the router yet. Maybe I'm not pushing hard enough, or maybe I'm cutting in soft enough material. I would say that probably 60% of the work I've done with the machine has all been with the laser. So obviously we're not going to break too much there.
And now what do you think of the laser? How is that working for you?
The honest opinion is it'd be great if it was a little more powerful. Mm-hmm. I think it's what, 3.8 watts? Or am I getting my numbers wrong?
It's right around 3 watts.
Okay. You know, if it was even 10 or 15 watts, that would be awesome. The only downside, I mean, I guess the result of having a 3-watt laser is you just cut slower. Mm-hmm. So the more wattage it has, the faster you can cut. So it's just a trade-off.
So the veneer on this sailboat, that was done with the laser then, because it's got really sharp corners.
It was done with the laser.
Now,
yes.
How many passes did you do to make that?
It was either 2 or 3.
Oh, that's not too bad then.
So that one was, I think I'm on 3 passes to get through. I'm running, I've got all these settings in the computer. I've dialed them in over time and I don't even look at the settings anymore, but I want to say it's on the order of 10 or 12 millimeters per minute. No, it's faster
per second.
Than that.
Millimeters per second. Yep.
Yeah. Yep. 10 to 12 millimeters per second.
So do you have different settings in Vetrick for different materials?
Yeah, absolutely. Even different colors of wood or different species of wood, I have different settings for.
So you copied the tool, you created a tool for the laser, and then what'd you do? Copy it, rename it for the different materials and have your speeds different for each one?
That sounds a lot smarter than what I did. I just have a little sticky note stuck next to my desk, and I just read off what the numbers are, and I change it for every species.
Okay, so here's a tip for everybody listening. You could, in fact, yeah, take your laser tool and just copy it, and I do that. That's what we do here, because I do it a lot with end mills. So I'll have one end mill that I would use for, say, five different materials, but the feeds and speeds are different for each material. So I just copy it, and then I put like I would say, if it was the laser, I would say laser, and then in parentheses, I would put, you know, a description of what the material it's for. And then you could have your power and your speed setting saved, and then you could just simply recall it from that.
Sounds smarter than what I did. Well, I think I just have a habit of how I did things when I had a machine shop.
Right.
And that's that your step over was always different, or the material removal rate was different. So everything was different.
Yeah. Now when you're doing the milling with it, what are you doing as far as your speeds and feeds? You just kind of winging it, or are you using software to calculate it?
I got an app off the internet, and I don't know what it was called right now. I could check, but it's a feed and speed app for machinists, and it has a functionality in there for wood.
Okay.
And the app, I'm looking at my phone right now. The app is FS Wizard.
FS Wizard. Okay. I'll have to check that out.
And it was free. They've got a paid version that's about $20, but I got the free version, and it's more than adequate for what I'm doing.
And do you find it's helpful? It's pretty accurate?
Yeah, it's a great starting point. You know, with the MM1000, you've got kind of six speed settings on there. You got the wheel that... the rolling dial.
Yep.
So I never know if I'm exactly where quite the speeds are that I think I'm at. So it's there's a little bit of kind of putting your thumb up into the wind and trying to see which direction the wind's coming from. But really it's just with wood, I've found that I run fast on the speed and I keep the feed rate to something that's about right. You know, if I don't want to get chipping or fraying of the edges, and I haven't had any problems.
Okay. One thing you could do is on Amazon, you could buy a digital tachometer, and all you have to do is take some liquid paper and put a little dot on the collet nut. And so that way, if you are using a speed and feed chart, you can put that digital tach on there and it counts the white dot, and then you can dial that in and get it pretty close. It's with wood and stuff, you could be off quite a bit and you're still going to have good success with it. It's not like when you're machining, you know, Inconel or hard steel or something where every RPM makes a difference.
Yeah, for sure.
But I'll have to check out that. Now, another tip for you, I don't know if you knew this or not, but if you're using Amana Tools, you can go on their website now and they have the actual tool file that you can download for just about every tool I've seen on there so far, and it imports right into Vetric. So, and it has the speed and feeds already set for it.
I didn't know about that last part, but I did know that the files were available. I'm going to check that one out too.
Yeah, I have I've used it a couple times and it's been pretty much right on. I have a customer here in Connecticut that uses it all the time, and he just told me the other day that he says, yeah, he doesn't even worry about it. He just loads the tool and runs it and it works fine. He never has any issues with their settings. So that must have taken them a considerable amount of time to put that together, but it is really convenient because you could just download it and then import that tool right into the library in Vetric.
That's awesome.
Yeah. Now, work holding with veneers, how are you holding everything down?
Well, because I'm using the laser, there's no contact. So I'm using masking tape.
Okay.
I just put the piece of veneer down and I tape it into place. I made a quick little, I call it a script, but it's a program that puts my origin and a coordinate system onto the backing board. So I know right where to line up the piece of wood, and I'm not looking for, kind of a mark, but I can line up my X and my Y and tape it down.
So you put the board down and then you run this file and it lasers the markings for you?
Yeah. I guess what I'm saying is, so on my waste board, I'll put an origin that runs a line about 15 centimeters out in X and runs a line about 15 centimeters out in Y. And where they meet is right at the 0, 0 for X and Y. And I'll put a little O there for origin mark. I've got dozens of these on my waste board at this point because I don't ever seem to save my G54 setting in the same place every time.
Yeah.
But that way I've got a place and I know as I'm running veneer, I know really quickly how to line it up and just tape it down. And it doesn't actually have to be perfect because I put a quarter inch waste around the veneer for the drop.
Okay.
So it works out. It works out great.
So there's another little tip for you. I know you just mentioned G54, so it's good that you know what that is. You know, there's also 55, 56, and 57. There's buttons on the UCCNC for that.
Yep, I am aware. I just haven't stepped over to using them yet. It's I don't know if it's laziness or if it's just working fast and not taking the time to do it.
Yeah, because right. All you'd have to do is if you hit G57, bring your get to your 0-0 point, just zero your DRO, and then go back and do all your normal jobs on G54. But whenever you want to use the laser using those origin points, just click the G57 and your 0-0 goes right where it was saved. And it'll stay that way. It saves it to the file on the computer. So you don't have to worry about whether you shut the computer down or anything. We use that quite a bit. It's good for fixturing too. Get you always in the same spot every time.
Thank you, Eric. That's a good piece of advice. It sounds a lot easier than I was assuming.
I should make a video on that because that's something that we use. It's one of those things, right? When you got something to make, you just don't always think about it, right? You don't think logically through the process. You just put your tool on and get your material down and just get it cut. And I've got a project that I'm doing because I shoot 3D archery, and I volunteered to make some signs for the archery course. And so there's going to be 20 of these 12x12, just made out of pine, nothing expensive, but they're all the same piece of wood. And I had to come up with a fixture because they're 3D carved, so it's going to take a lot of time to set everything up, and I didn't want to have to worry about chasing a 0-0 point all the time. So I used G57 and made a fixture with it, and then I just know that when I go on the machine, the first thing I do is make sure I hit G54. Because if I'm on G57 and I don't realize it, and then I reset my 0-0 because I'm doing a different job, then I just lost my origin point. So
yeah,
that's you can also hit the machine when you get your 0-0 location where you want it. If you hit the machine button on UCCNC, it'll tell you the actual machine coordinates where it is right there. So you could just take a picture with your phone. And if you ever needed to get back to that exact spot and you weren't using the work, G54, 5 or 6, you could actually just home the machine and then go into the MDI and just say Y, and then put in that number, and X, put in that number, and it'll move it right to that spot as well.
Yep. Sounds good. Thanks for that tip. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So that's another little trick. This is really cool. I got to get some more photos because I'm sure everybody, I'm anxious to see some of the other things that that you're making. Right now, what do you say? What's like the biggest challenge you have? Like, what's the one thing you want to try to figure out or master with the machine?
Great question. I'd say the biggest challenge I have is time to get onto the machine just because of the day job conflicts.
Yeah.
But it's really just more time. As like everything in life, the deeper you dig into something, the more questions you start to find that you have, things that you didn't even know before. So I'd like to spend more time with the milling attachment. I've done, again, more than 60% of my time has been with the laser, and I've got that really well under control. But I'd like to do more time with the mill. And that's just going to take, it's just going to take time sitting at the computer and sitting in front of the machine.
Yeah. Yeah. A good thing to keep handy. MDF is always good material when you're practicing with the mill, but the one issue with MDF is it's still relatively hard. So if you are playing with feeds and speeds and stuff, you do run the risk of you could potentially snap a bit. So what we use a lot of here when we're testing out something complicated is insulation foam board from Home Depot or Lowe's. Mm-hmm. That stuff is awesome because it machines really clean and it's soft enough that you're not going to snap a bit. And I've actually, whenever I do a guitar, I use that foam, and the finish size in the foam is so accurate that I could place like all the pickups and everything to make sure everything is going to fit right before I go machining it out of $100 blank of wood. So wow. Yeah, we use that a lot. So it's always good material when you're practicing, for sure.
Good to know. I just last week I went and bought a sheet of 3/4-inch MDF, and it's sitting right outside my shop. So maybe I'll go add a piece of foam to that pile.
Yeah. It's always good. The only challenge with MDF is the dust. It gets everywhere, but that's the one main thing. If somebody wants to contact you or find out more about you, do you have a website or a Facebook page or anything like that? Etsy or?
I don't at the moment, but email is a great way to get a hold of me. And the email address that I'm using is Chris, C-H-R-I-S, at creatorkits.com.
Okay. I'll put that in the show notes as well. And if you could send me over some photos, I'll include those. And that way people can get an idea of what you're doing. Because at some point I'm going to ask you offline if we can do some kind of how-to on this laminates, because this thing is incredible. It came out really good. So rather than me wasting time and money with adhesives and stuff, maybe I can get you to share your secret sauce.
Yeah, you could probably talk me into that.
That would be cool. Well, I appreciate it. I mean, and taking the time today, if you had any like final words or advice that you'd give with somebody who's just starting out or maybe looking for a CNC machine, maybe they haven't made up their mind on brand or any advice you might be able to share?
Oh, absolutely. So first off is don't shop based on price, shop based on quality and functionality. Saving a couple dollars here now will just create headaches in the future. And StepCraft is just well engineered and it's just not gonna disappoint. As far as advice goes, CNC can be a little intimidating because there's the software aspect, there's the machine aspect, there's the noise and the mess aspect. So take your time, start with simple things. Even though I was an experienced machinist and I know CNC software, I still kind of approached the machine with some concern that I wouldn't know how to do it. And it turned out that wasn't the case. And my concern was really just learning a new piece of software, which was Vetric, which turned out to just not be an issue with watching some YouTube videos. But understanding the process and understanding that you're getting into something that's a little more sophisticated than just holding a saw and carving, and it's going to take a little bit of time and effort, but you can totally do it with just a little bit of time and a little bit of patience and just kind of having an open mind.
Yeah, that's great. That's great advice. That's for sure. Well, I really appreciate it, Chris. Thank you so much for taking the time to talk with me today. I look forward to conversing with you in the future on some other possible endeavors. So yeah, I really appreciate it.
Yeah. Thanks, Eric. This has been a blast. I'm really happy to do everything I can to give StepCraft a boost. So this is great.
Well, that means a lot to us here, and I'll be sure to share that with my whole team. So thank you very much. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thank you for listening to the Think It, Make It podcast. Be sure to tune in next time for more great CNC router content.